Hallelujah. Why don't we just take our seats this morning and I'm going to get into the Word. And wow, so good to be home and with you all, praising and worshipping the Lord. And the Lord's good and so very faithful. Just been great to get away with family in Perth and of course down south, in the southwest as well. Just get a little bit of time away. And, you know, it's nice to get away from the schedule. That's really what it is. You know, it's not so much the workload, but the schedule that, you know, you just got to keep doing. And then have a few days where we wake up where there's nothing on the schedule. Just nothing. And that's a very interesting concept when you're busy all the time doing this and doing that. And, of course, it's, for me, just a real opportunity to refresh my reliance on the Lord for what He wants to achieve, what He wants to do, you know, and just express that, you know, that reliance and trust. So good to hear the worship coming through. I really believe the Lord's saying that not just to me, but for all of us, you know, that, boy, we need to be a people that are just relying on God. And He loves that. It's, you know, only after getting away sometimes also that we appreciate home. And, you know, you've got to go away sometimes. What's that saying? It says, sometimes you've got to get lost to find yourself. Sometimes you've got to go away to appreciate home and what God is doing. And thank God for those who are working with Him alongside you. Those also focused on the kingdom, building the kingdom, you know, raising up sons and daughters that have His heart and see as He sees. And so very important that we be about that business as well, making disciples. Okay, disciplined people that know how to do the Word, know how to work the Word, and of course, walk with the Spirit of God. Rosemary sends her greetings, of course. She just had things to do down there, so she's not quite back yet. She had a few things to do down there with family as well and spend a little bit more time with Mum and Dad, and of course, who have obviously grown older in this time and in this season, but they're still appreciative of us being here and coming down every so often, spending time with them. But you know, church, we need to see our church fellowship and our ministry together as something that God is using to turn lives around, you know, to connect others to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and of course kingdom living, which is, as you know and as we've heard in the past, and we need to remind ourselves, it's the lifestyle of the just, the justified, those that have received that gift of righteousness. It's the lifestyle that we've been called to, which is living by faith and understanding and knowing what that is, living by faith. And, you know, I think of actually one little blessing I've received this year already was my app that I use for study, etc. They've now included the Amplified version. So my sermons are going to get longer right now because they've got an Amplified version that I can call upon there and actually just cut and paste. So praise the Lord. I like Romans chapter 1, verse 17 in the Amplified version. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Romans 1, 17 in the Amplified version. Both springing from faith and leading to faith. And I like why it gets longer in the Amplified, because they actually expound upon what that means. In brackets there, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by faith. That's what we're called to. We're called to living by our faith and our trust in God. And we've heard a lot about that this morning coming through as a bit of a theme there. So let's not be slow on the uptake as we step into 2021. Let's not be slow. Let's make sure we're mindful that unbelief and any of its forms, okay, and I'm just going to just be really direct with you this morning. Unbelief in any of its forms is displeasing to God. Just put that right out there. And when I came into that understanding myself in my early walk with the Lord, I started to realize that so much of my thinking and my thought life was actually just unbelief. I just wasn't actually believing what God had said, but I was just believing something else. And it took a while for me to actually, you know, in my discipleship and my progress in purity and maturity, to actually break away from that. But you know, it's a condition that the Lord requires us to at least be stepping back from when we find ourselves in unbelief or just not believing God at His word. That we step back from that, like something that's dangerous and not good for us. We just step back. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 says this, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Drawing back to places of unbelief. You know, worry. You know, someone said worry is a misuse of the imagination. Think about that. Worry is a misuse of the imagination. We may not always be at our best in faith, but let's make sure that we don't make ourselves comfortable in unbelief. Now, and I say it by the Spirit of God, let's not make room for unbelief in our lives. Someone here today needs to know that one of those positions of being comfortable in unbelief is through justifying your offences. Just putting that out there, someone just needs to take that one on the chin, okay? By justifying your offences, God wants you to step back from your offences because they're actually just leading you into unbelief, okay? Think about that from the Spirit of God for you. But great message last week from Jenny Costigan on stumbling blocks. If that's you this morning, you might want to go and look that up in the church website. Have another little listen to that. Again, just expressions of appreciation for those of you that did bring a message while we're away. Kath Franklin down the back there, and of course, Diane. Leach here, and of course Jenny Costing. Great words, great messages during that time away, so I encourage you to get in there and have a little listen. Only heard good things, by the way, ladies, so thank you so much. But you know, we need to ask ourselves and know what the answer is. What does living by faith look like? What does it look like? You know, it looks like continuing to pray. It looks like continuing to believe God at His word and saying what He says, no matter how it looks in the natural. Keep praying. Keep saying what God says. And, you know, living by faith is a loyalty to His word, keeping it in our hearts and in our mouths as we continue to speak it. If you remember, back in December, we'd been seeing that faith is the transmission that heaven's looking for, you know, that transmission coming up from the earth. It's that signal from us to heaven, that heaven and its power responds to that transmission. It has a sound to it, faith. You know, it has a voice, and we need to be speaking it. Not only is it heard as when we use words, but also when we're speaking from our hearts, there's a transmission of faith that heaven responds to, and power as a result. See, unbelief is a distortion to that signal of faith. You know, we're out driving on the road, and I'll share a little testimony of a little event that occurred. We're out there on the road. It's pretty dangerous out there on the road. Johnson before was trying to pull up some dash cam footage of a little kangaroo and his joey sitting on the side of the road. And, I started hitting my horn as I was approaching. And, of course, the roo crossed the road. And the joey got to the middle of the road and then started to try and outrun us as I'm slowing down, you know. And he's darting back and forth, not quite sure which way, or which side of the road this little joey. And Johnson's trying to find the footage earlier on. Very hard to find. But we will find it, and we may even show it to you. But this poor little joey just didn't know where to go. But, you know, there's a distortion. And, you know, as you're using your UHF radio out there on the roads, is that the one, Johns? Yeah. Yeah, let's have a little look. Here we go, up on the right. He crosses the road. What does the joey do? Oh, outrun this car. Poor little guy. You know, it's a good thing to follow fathers, isn't it? You know what I mean? Parents. And poor little Joey crossing the road there, and I'm blown away at the horn. The poor little guy doesn't go where to go. We're going to get away from that sound. But, unbelief is a distortion, isn't it? You know, and to that signal of faith that we need to have coming up toward the Lord. I like what 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, we have the prophet coming to the king Asa, the prophet Hanani, and it says there, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, listening for a signal, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." He wants to show himself strong. You know, it doesn't matter where you've been or whether you feel, you know, how you feel about yourself, but God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. And he wants you to walk with him in that type of confidence that he wants to show up in life circumstances and situations and show himself strong for you. And, you know, Hananiah comes to King Asa and actually explains that. He actually goes on to him and says to him, because you haven't done that, you're going to have wars. And that's what the prophet brought to him. But, you know, what is God looking for? He's looking for a loyal heart. You know, the one that is believing him at his word, you know, believing God at his word from our hearts. And we said, and hear it, and heard from it last year, that word, the waymaker is looking for word keepers. People that will just take that stand on his word and his promises and saying, that's what I'm believing to happen. I'm defining that for my life and I'm calling upon God for that to be happening in my life. God's looking for that, because he wants to show himself strong on our behalf. During our trip back this last week, you know, we'd start each day, as you know, it's a long journey, and we'd start each day with a prayer of protection and, of course, safety, and I recommend it, thanking the Lord that he is with you, and, you know, and, of course, that you have safety and protection. But, you know, one part of the trip, we had to overtake two semi-trailers that had over-width loads. Now, they had a pilot car behind it and a pilot car in front of it. And of course, they pretty well pick up that you've got a UHF radio straight away before you even get there and announce your arrival behind them. They're already talking to you. We're traveling north. We've got a 5.3 load. You know, they start telling you all the details of their load. And so, you know, you're listening into that. And when you pull up behind them, they start talking to you about overtaking them, you know, whether it's safe, when it's not safe. And as I say, I still believe prayer is important, and I'll explain. I still believe prayer is very important, and you should pray over your day of travel. You know, these starting to realise that these pilots are wanting to guide me and direct me into this, into passing their vehicles. And of course, where I get to them is on a bend uphill with double white lines. And so the call comes, "Yeah, mate, you're good to go." And I'm going, "Well, I've got double white lines. I know that I can't cross now. But anyway, it's good to go." And he goes, "Oh, you've got 2 Ks before any other vehicles." So, you know, not able to see these, I'm going out into the blind. So I overtake the first vehicle, and they're saying, "You're good to go. 2 Ks before any other cars." But, you know, what are you going to do? Men, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to listen to your heart. Not listen to what they're saying, but listen to your heart. And I get past the first vehicle, and I just knew to duck back in. So I duck back in, and sure enough, seconds later, how long was it, Johnson? Seconds, yeah, not long. Seconds later, a caravan comes through. No word from the pilot vehicles or anything. You know, just whoa. And I tell you, every time I'm going to listen to my heart, every time I'm going to listen to my spirit. So, you know, engage, lean in and listen. And anyway, so there I am. And as I then get another, "Yeah, you're good to go, mate." I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to sort of, you know, watch out here. And so anyway, I duck back out again and, of course, pass and sort of trust that they know now. But as I go past, One of the truck drivers goes, "Well done, mate." I'm sure he saw the whole thing happening. He goes, "Well done, mate." And I thought, good on you. Thank you. But so important to have a connected heart. Isn't that right? And one that can cut through all the noise and follow that direction from the Lord. They know that instinct to pull back in was just so overwhelming. And I just went, "I'm going with that." And I just pulled back in between the two vehicles. So, you know, when we don't understand how God could do something, lead us, guide us, provide a breakthrough or work a miracle, you know, like Mary the mother of Jesus, you can always submit and surrender, can't we? It's what prayer is doing so often. We're just submitting and surrendering to him and saying, Lord, you know, let it be done unto me according to your word. As we know from Christmas, was Mary's prayer. And of course, that was a faith expression. And, you know, all things are possible with God. But if we want the fruit of the justified, we're going to have to live by faith. If we want the fruit of the justified, which involves hearing, doesn't it? What is faith? How does faith come? It comes by hearing, the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing. The justified shall live by faith, hearing God's word, living by faith. You know, lifted that woman with the issue of blood, didn't it? Living by faith lifted her out of her illness and her hopelessness. And notice this, for that change to happen, for that miracle to occur, her signal had to change, didn't it? Now, some of us are here today who have a signal that's going out that's the wrong signal. We've got to actually change that signal. So it's faith that's coming from our hearts, that believing, you know, strong in his word, you know, that reliance on what God is saying in his word. You know, she could, that woman with the issue of blood, she could have stopped home that day and said, yeah, there's a miracle worker in town, but, you know, I've spent all my money on doctors and I couldn't possibly afford a taxi. She could have got comfortable in her unbelief, you know. I'll probably get overlooked in the crowd. Who am I to receive anything from God? How could I possibly be important, you know, etc. But instead of justifying her unbelief with potential offences, you know, having spent all her money on doctors who couldn't get her well, you know, instead of justifying her position and her situation, she had to stand up out of that. Watch out for those areas, you know, church. I really believe the Lord's saying that again, where we justify our unbelief through offence. And allow offence to be the justification. She said in her heart, remember, she said something in her heart, but heaven heard. She said in her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And notice, it was not the woman tugging at Jesus' tunic that, you know, that caused her to receive a healing, to turn around and lay hands on her because she finally got his attention. Jesus was just as surprised as she was. Wasn't she? You know, or he, wasn't he? He was just as surprised. And let's just have a little look at that. And I like this saying, you know, the tightrope walk of faith is best walked with the balancing pole of communion with God. Just communion with God. Just that, you know, that balancing part. You know, it's sometimes walking by faith, we can only just barely see ahead of ourselves as we sort of step that out. But that balancing pole of communion with God, you know, that hearing heart is so very important that the Lord would direct us and guide us and lead us. And, you know, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. You know, physicians doing things, trying things, have a little go at this, have a little go at that. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well. What was heaven listening to? That faith in her heart. That's where faith needs to be. Heaven was listening. That was a signal that went up. And Jesus was just the conduit, you know, for the power to flow back down through to her. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? You see, it wasn't on his agenda for the day, but she established her own agenda for the day. She was getting healed that day. She was going to receive what God had for her. You know, there's no healing line. There's no modesty, you know, cloths. There's no ushers to catch her. But the woman touched heaven with her faith. And that's what we need to take notice of. And in Mark chapter 5, you know, the question for us all is, are we touching heaven with our faith? Have we got that kind of faith that's transmitting and heaven's receiving? Mark chapter 5 and verse 31 to 34, it says, but his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? They were puzzled as well. And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, my faith has made you well. Sorry? Thank you very much. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Got to remember that. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something. Amen. Who initiated the healing? She did. That faith in her heart, you know, transmitting, bringing down, connecting with the power of God. She did. And, you know, what we're saying is, for goodness sakes, let's get our faith out and working. You know, the just shall live by faith, the Bible says. Let's get our faith out and working in our situations. Let's proclaim some areas where we're believing God to see a change. Let's proclaim those areas and stick with it and say it and pray it and stick with it. Even when, you know, sometimes you look at it and go, nothing's happened. Now here's the question. How long should it take? Before you answer that, we're not told. I heard Kenneth Hagin say one time, and I love it, and he said, if you're prepared to believe forever, it won't take that long. So just stick with that, you know. Just be prepared to believe forever. But whatever you do, stop waiting on God to do something. He is waiting on you to unleash those promises. Get them into your heart and into your mouth and speak them. She said in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. Living by faith also, as you'll remember, raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Even when they received the bad report as he was heading to Jairus' house, and even when they received that bad report, Jairus had to keep believing, you know. And Jesus tells him to keep his faith. Note that. Don't you dare cancel your faith with your words. Don't start praying and believing for something and for some reason, you know, some bad report comes along and you stop. Don't dare do that. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 35 to 36. And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, what does he say? Do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. So in other words, forget all your unbelief, all those thoughts that are coming now that are crying out to you, saying to you, this is can't go any further, this is over. I'm not going to get the answer to my miracle. Stop and just only believe. And sometimes all of us are in that place where we need to do that, where the temptation is to stop believing and start saying something else. Get comfortable with our unbelief. And God doesn't want us doing that. And we need to recognize that living by faith means that we stay with faith. We stick with it. We don't let it drop. We keep transmitting faith from our hearts and with our words. And if our believing from our heart was not important, then Jesus would not have taught that it is. And he did teach that believing is important. If our words were not important, then Jesus wouldn't have taught that our words are important, that we should be saying what the outcome of what we're wanting should be. And Jesus did teach that we could live above the natural scheme of life and see the fruit of living by faith. The natural scheme of things. God wants us to live above that. It glorifies him. It glorifies his name. Jesus speaks to the fig tree and curses it. And because it has no fruit on it, and he speaks to it and curses it. And the next day the disciples come by and they're amazed because this fig tree is already starting to dry up. And they go, wow. It takes a result of the word spoken to the fig tree and the amazement of the disciples for Jesus to teach them and us all that faith must be transmitted. And get this, it's the same result whether we're making a declaration, whether we're saying, or whether we're praying the word. Now just listen in for this last little bit, just a couple of minutes to go. Mark chapter 11, very important. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus had only spoken to it and said, you know, be cursed and die. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. He was stunned. And of course, there's all the disciples. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. In fact, in one translation, it says, have the faith of God. How does God get things done? He speaks, doesn't he? Let there be light. and there was light. He's a creative God, and he creates through words. And Peter, remembering, said, Jesus said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, so at this point Jesus would have turned away from the fig tree and pointed to a mountain and said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in other words, unbelief, you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to get those words lining up with the promises of God, and those fulfilled, you're going to have to get their believing heart behind it. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Powerful word. Strong teaching from Jesus. Now, if this was taught by, you know, a preacher who came up with a great way to, you know, start a religion, I'd be going, well, you know, I don't know if that really works or not. But because I understood early in my Christian life that this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples to live by, I started to put it into practice. And guess what? I found out it works. Found that you can start speaking into some things, start saying the word of God, start praying the word of God into situations and circumstances, and the power of heaven gets released as we transmit faith with our words. And then it goes on, it says, "And but he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray." So it's not just our saying, it's also our praying. It works on the same principle. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." What is something to rejoice about here? A simple truth that's being taught. If we have a mountain and an impossibility in our lives, something that is beyond our capability to remove, we just have one instruction from Jesus to deal with it. And if we'll just apply ourselves to it in a committed way, a dedicated way, if we'll just apply ourselves to it, we'll see fruit from it. Remember, what we're talking about here is that the just shall live by faith. This is how we're called to live now. It glorifies him. And of course, brings blessing into our lives as well. You know, we can speak to our mats, we can speak to our impossibilities, you know, and you say, well, how long will it take? As I said, it doesn't tell us how long it takes, but if we'll just stick to it and make it a way of life, the just shall live by their faith and believe that what we're saying will be done. And of course, the truth is, don't throw away your confidence. Sometimes before people can actually see the fruit of it, they give up on it. We've got to keep it out there. Keep that constant, you know, transmission out there that we're believing and that we're saying. Let's pray today as we close the service and ask the Lord a blessing. No one moving around. I just want to put a prayer out there for anyone that's here today. You know, we have to understand that when we get around the Word of God, we're looking for a decision, and of course, the decision is to do the Word. And I encourage you this morning, if you heard that word, if it sparked something in you, make sure you commit yourself to do the word today and make a decision that you're going to do it. Make a quality decision. Someone says, what is a quality decision? A quality decision is one that you'll not change your mind about. A quality decision. So Father, today we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your promises today and your word, Lord God. And we thank you for the teaching and instruction from the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's a lamp unto our feet, a guide unto our path. Not just shows us where we are, where we're maybe not doing the word, but also shows us how we can start to do the word. In other words, it shows us where we can go. And Lord, I pray that that hope of seeing your word fulfilled in the lives of many, Father, are experienced today, Lord. Lord, that someone today gets a hold of it, Lord, and it triggers something within their hearts, Lord, to start to do the word and not just hear it, Father. Put it into practice, make an application of it in their lives and in circumstances where they're facing impossibility. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's a breakthrough they need in their finances, Lord God. Maybe it's a relationship difficulty or a circumstance at work. But today, Lord God, we release, this word, Lord God, to penetrate hearts, Lord, to minister to those that need this ministry, Father. Lord, I ask that, Lord, you establish within each of us that commitment that says we're going to do your word and nothing else. We're not going to be comfortable with letting go of your word and seeing your word fulfilled in our lives. We pray this today in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, Amen.